It's the South Florida Morning Show with Jennifer Ross and Bill Adams on News Talk 850 WFTL.
And one more play for the Georgia defense. Georgia on the mountaintop. Demons be gone and the drought is over. National champions.
Demons be gone.
I got to ask you, do these sportscasters like write out lines that they say, if this happens, this is what I'm going to say?
Yes, because on the other side of that index card, Curt Fowler had, the master is still the teacher. Sports. Oh, it was good. Good for Georgia.
Good for Georgia. Good for 40 them. Years. And the first thing I thought of was I got a couple of friends who have kids who go to Georgia. I wanted to call them up and say, your tuition's going up 15 to 20 grand a year.
That's right.
Get ready.
It's what happened to Florida, remember?
It always happens when there's a national title. It happened at Ohio State. It happened here. In Florida, can you remember when we first moved here? I mean, I've been here many years, but when I first moved to Florida, I didn't have children. I was much younger. But I can remember they were begging you to go to the University of Florida.
Oh, it was easy.
They were like, here, $1,200 a quarter. It's all yours. Right. Come, please. And then they won that national championship. And then they got better, obviously. But then
when they won another
national championship, the first one, tuition went through the roof.
And then they were able to raise, there was so much demand, they were able to raise admission standards. Now you need a, what, 4.0 plus 5.
Oh, it's like, yeah, 5.0 to get in. It's absurd. It really is. And it's not cheap anymore. So, well, good for them winning a title.
So, how about the state of Georgia? How about Georgia sports fans? You got the Braves. You got the Dogs winning. They had a good year.
Who's their football team?
It doesn't matter. But the Falcons.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know. Do they have a football team? That's how much I know about Atlanta. What the Falcons? Yeah?
Okay. Not too good.
Okay.
How about this? This was fun. Kirby Smart, coach.
I love this comment. I'm thinking Indianapolis isn't liking you, though.
Yeah.
There's going to be some property torn up in Indianapolis tonight, baby.
Sounds like a wrestler.
How long has he been the coach for Georgia?
Diener, how long? 4 or 5 years, whatever. But he was with Saban forever in multiple stops, including with the Dolphins. Forgot about that.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
He was with Saban, with LSU, the Dolphins, Alabama, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
Anywhere else?
I think those are the three. I don't think he was with them when he was at LSU.
I think he had to have worked with them for 15 years, no?
Solid. I think he was his longest tenured assistant out of all the guys like Jimbo Fisher and you know, Lane Kiffin, all these guys who've gone on. But yeah, it was really cool for them.
All right, here's our question for you. Jen and I were, this is always a mistake. We were trying to do some math right before we walked in here.
Oh.
Total points was 51. Was that not the exact line?
I got to look
it
and
might
see
be
on our sheet.
And that's right, because you had the over-under for your wild card, right?
I think
because I have to look and see if we had 51 or 52 on our sheet. And I forget which one it was.
Either way,
yeah,
Vegas is a bunch of witches.
I don't know.
I don't know.
They do it all the time.
I don't know. And they're really usually exact on the line.
The worst is when you watch some type of meaningless college basketball game and they have it's like Pacific against St. Joseph's and they have the over-under set at 138 and you're watching the end of the game. And if you're a degenerate gambler, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it's sitting on like 136 with a guy who has the ball with 8 seconds left. And you're like, how do they do this?
It's amazing. It's amazing how often Vegas gets it right.
Yeah, it really is.
They have scientists working on this, algorithms.
Although Georgia covered pretty easily.
Mm.
They were favored by 2.5. And
oh, jeez.
That final touchdown, you know, it looks easy at the end, but that was a close game all the way.
Oh, it was a defensive clinic the first half.
There was a great cut of the Georgia coach saying, I saw that ball in the air and I was like, yeah, baby, he's going to catch it.
Wow.
Screaming. I was like, this then,
it was anticipation.
So nice. It was so cool.
Well, fans have been waiting 40 years for that, so.
It's good for them. Good for them.
Saban's like, you know what? The ultimate power move. He was all smiles talking to Kirby Smart there at the end.
Well, you know, you gotta be. You gotta after you.
We'll be back in it.
Yeah, he will. And how many national titles has Alabama won?
Yeah,
it's about
in their
time.
History?
You know, it's about time they lost. No offense.
Well, Saban has 7 in his career. I think 4 or 5 of them have come with Alabama. So he's. I don't know if you guys caught it when him and Kirby Smart were kind of hugging at the end.
Yeah.
We got the cut.
If you can hear it, I don't know whether I filtered this out enough, but see if you could pick up what he says to him. Pretty tough, but he said, you kicked our ass in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
As he's smiling.
Yeah, you know what? They did. And good for Georgia. And good for Diener. I think he was the only one to pick Georgia to win. So
you know, it was just one of those things. I thought in the SEC title game, they learned from that loss to Alabama. And maybe that was the best thing that could have happened to them. It's hard to come into a championship game undefeated.
Yeah.
You know, and you have all that pressure on you. Well, going back for the Patriots, that's true. But you have all that pressure on you. You're thinking, you know, we just got to get this one more win. And for Georgia, it could have been the best thing to lose to Alabama. You kind of get a blueprint on how to make adjustments
Absolutely.
For that game that they were in last
night. Second time you've seen him, you know what didn't work, right? I don't know. It's kind of sad. I'm always fascinated by these championship games and the college playoff and all that stuff. I think it's great. We need more of it. We need more playoff games.
They're fun to watch. You know what? And then you see the camaraderie between the kids. I think it's because they're kids. People get so excited. You know, they're not overpaid, pompous, I'm greater than God, professional athletes. These are kids that may soon become greater than God professional athletes. But
and then they're overpaid.
And then they're overpaid. But, you know, for now, they're college kids. They're happy. And it just makes it all fun.
Unlike the head of the CDC, she said the most important thing of all yesterday, and they just buried it. What she said could have saved so many lives if they said it a year and a half ago.
Well, it was kind of like if you're obese.
Exactly.
Same situation.
We got that coming up. We got some more headline stuff. All next, the South Florida Morning Show. This is Jen. I'm Bill. Keep it here. The South Florida Morning Show, News Talk 850 WFTL. Speaking of weather, Jen.
Yes.
We're talking about this off air, and I just got some more details. More than 15 million people along the East Coast are under wind chill alerts.
Oh.
Some states might dip below 45 below zero.
Wow.
This is one of those days where you're just so glad you live in Florida.
You're not kidding. They said, I guess the worst part's going to be like northern Maine, northern Vermont, northwestern Vermont. That's what they said it's going to be like 40 below with the wind chill. I got friends in Rhode Island saying it's already 20 below.
Oh, God, really? Already?
Already, yeah. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. They said it started coming in last night, and it's just getting colder by the hour. I'm like, okay.
New York State and Boston, coldest temp since 2019, but more than 2 feet of snow could be coming today.
Oh, jeez.
Have they gotten one break where they caught up with the airline thing since Christmas? Because they were still behind thousands of flights.
You know, my brother was just here, but he flew into Tampa.
Right.
And he didn't have any problems whatsoever. He said plane wasn't delayed, walked right on, and leaving was the same way. So I guess things are back to normal.
Man.
At least for, I don't know who he flew. It might have been JetBlue because they get the direct flights.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly.
So it might have been them. But
craziness.
Said it was all good, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice to know.
There's a lot going on in the news, obviously, but let's not let this go by the wayside without talking about it. Rochelle Walensky, head of the CDC.
Yeah, my buddy.
Very casually admits what people have been saying for now 2 years. Listen to this.
The overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people who had at least four comorbidities. So really, these are people who were unwell to begin with.
How many jobs, lives, and businesses could you have and education opportunities could you have saved if you just recognized what you knew all along and said it?
Well, it's you're absolutely right. Let's start with, I think it was early last year, they started saying if you were overweight or more morbidly obese, you had a greater risk of dying from COVID-19, even if you were vaccinated. And then we didn't even have vaccinations then. But now, the one person that we know of that has died from the Omicron situation, that variant, was somebody who had two or three comorbidities to begin with.
That's right. Weight and heart.
So, they're not saying, they don't say that. They're just scaring people to death. All they talk about now is new cases, new cases, new cases. Okay, how many of those new cases are deathly ill? You know, I know a lot of people who've had Omicron, and all it is was a cold.
Do you remember?
They didn't even know they had it.
And it really speaks to the numbers, too, what you can trust about the COVID case numbers. First of all, we know those are flimsy but because of testing, but also the death numbers. Do you remember when the lefties started to turn on Elon Musk about a year ago? We went on Joe Rogan, and he started talking about people who, his example was, it was funny, he made Joe Rogan laugh. He goes, you could get eaten by a shark, but if your arm tested some sort of pickup for COVID, they're going to call you a COVID death.
It's so true.
And that's what, and then they blackmailed him. They just turned on him. Everybody hated Elon Musk all of a sudden. Other people started saying that and getting banned off platforms.
Yeah.
It's exactly right.
And that's
none of these numbers you can trust.
And that's what it is. Well, you know why? And I got a feeling you were right. It's big pharma. Because as Rochelle Walensky's telling that to, you know, Capitol Hill and senators and everybody else in the world, the CEO of Pfizer saying, hey, guess what? We get an Omicron vaccine. It's going to be ready by March.
Wow. That didn't take long. What a look. It's not even an opinion. It's fact. This is the greatest financial boon to ever happen to the pharmaceutical industry. What doesn't matter what you're talking about the cause is, whether or not you believe in boosters, doesn't matter. It is factual. This is the greatest thing to ever happen to any one industry.
So true.
They're going to become trillionaires.
Yeah, you're right. And if you had Pfizer stock, or I told you what my brother said, I think it's one of these medical things that if you're in the medical profession, that you buy the stock that obviously creates the drugs that you, you know, give out to dispense right. to your, you know, patients. He goes, I've owned Pfizer stock for 55 years. It's never done anything until now. And he said, it's like incredible. He said, all of a sudden it went through the roof because of these vaccines. Merck's the same way. Johnson & Johnson's the same way.
It's amazing. So, I mean, it just is.
I don't know.
And I understand a lot of business people will say, well, listen, that's that they're pharmaceuticals and people need the vaccine. Well, I get that. But again, I don't know how many times we've said this. I want to know how many health directors, how many people in really important positions of power are linked with and have a lot of stock in these pharmaceuticals. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory to ask that. I just want to know.
Yeah, and I would.
Why won't anybody ask?
Because they're afraid. They don't want to know that Nancy Pelosi owns, you know, 10,000 shares of Pfizer, or you know, a million shares of Pfizer, whatever the case may be. Or, you know, Mitch McConnell owns that many. Who knows? I'm sure most of Congress owns a great deal of stock in all of these companies. That's how they make their money.
It would make sense.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it behooves them, obviously, but I can't imagine. This is like a science fiction novel. I can't imagine that big pharma really is pushing all of this. But you look at it.
I don't know.
And you look at the facts and you look at the statistics. It makes you wonder.
None of this has made sense from
None.
The beginning.
None.
Speaking of those guys, is Fauci and Walensky, are they going to Capitol Hill today? Oh. Is this a big Rand Paul day?
Oh, please tell me Rand Paul's just going to eviscerate both of them, especially Rochelle. You know, Fauci, we all know, has somebody in my family once called him the biggest disgrace to the medical profession ever.
Wow.
I was like, wow, okay.
There you go.
He said, but she, as the director of the CDC, now 2 years into this epidemic, this pandemic, says it's comorbidities that put you at risk of dying in severe illness.
Right.
If you're right. If they had said this 2 years ago, how many lives would have been saved?
And there would have been less hysteria, I think. I mean, there's no way to tell, but I would think so if they said, look, if you're obese, you got a heart condition, you're very old,
yeah,
you got a compromised immune system, you're top priority. Why couldn't they have said that? Of course they knew that.
Because I guess they were afraid that they were going to pinpoint people and, oh my goodness, you know, you can't, you know, say because you're fat you're going to get this. you know, and that would be like fat shaming or something. I don't know.
You imagine.
But I got news for you. If I were overweight and they told me, hey, you know what, because you're 100 pounds overweight, you have a really good shot that this is going to put you in the hospital, I'd be like, okay, I'll stay home. I'll take extra precautions. I'll go on a diet. I'll start exercising, whatever I got to do.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, you know, and I'm sorry. You know what? Hey, you know, you've watched me gain 100 pounds, lose 100 pounds. I go
you
up and down.
You never gained 100 pounds.
Oh, I was close to it. Anyway, but I do. I've gained weight and lost weight and gained it again. So I know what it's like to be heavy. Believe me, I've been there before, especially when I was pregnant. Oh, my God. Anyway, but still, if somebody had told me when I was 100 pounds overweight, you have a greater risk of dying from this damn thing, I would have done something like instantly.
I would think so. You know, you never know.
But I don't. It's
that's another thing too, though, is because they went bananas with this and lockdowns and all the other stuff. All the other health. We talked about mental health aspects, but on average, did you see this? This came out over the holidays. Through the pandemic, over 2 years of this, the average Americans gained 39 pounds.
Oh, wonderful! Yeah.
That's not healthy.
Well, what are you?
So then what do you go on? More drugs?
Yeah, well, what are you doing? You know what? You're locking all these people up. Many people, you know what? The biggest thing about exercise is getting the motivation to do it.
No doubt.
And if you're stuck at home and you're looking at a TV and you're locked in your apartment or whatever, you're going, what am I going to do? I'm going to go run around my 950 square foot place. Not happening. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to eat. And I'm going to watch TV.
I was thinking about this over the holidays. The most outrageous, because somebody brought it up to me. We were talking about the most outrageous things, outrageous moves that communities did. You know what? Still number one to me is when they, I think it was either New York or Boston or one of the big cities, where they put 2x4s on basketball hoops.
It was Boston.
To keep young, healthy kids from exercising.
That was Boston.
I mean, mass stupidity, what we saw.
It is. And you know what? And then they found out, go out in the sun because being outside is good for you.
No, okay. let's lock people up inside an apartment.
God almighty, help us.
Question for you guys.
Uh-oh. Hi, Diener.
Hi, Diener.
Good morning. I'm wondering how much of this, I think I know the answer, but I'm curious to see what you think. How much of this these new revelations from the CDC and the left media is basically just them trying to save face and cover their own butts at this point because they know that everything they've done is not working and Joe Biden looks terrible and his numbers are terrible. And then you see Jake Tapper on CNN yesterday.
He's going to bring that up. That's right. He's trying to circle back now.
He's talking about like it's something new, talking to Sanjay Gupta saying, you know, what do you think about this? There are people in hospitals like in New York who go in with a broken leg and then they have COVID and they're being counted. That shouldn't happen, right?
Well, we can't believe these numbers now.
Well, duh. We've been saying it for 2 years, you jerks.
This is the network that had the red throbbing, literally throbbing cases number.
Remember? Like the countdown clock.
The whole thing. Every institution you know of was just a failure during this thing.
Wow. Now they're trying to save face. Oh, it's unreal.
Okay, I'm going to give you some good news to carry us through the news break, okay? Ooh. Brightline is this much closer to getting us to Orlando.
Fantastic.
Oh, good.
This close.
Do you mean literally they put down another piece of track?
Oh, they're that much closer? They put out a lot of track. It's cool.
And all eyes are on Georgia today. You know why? Because of voting rights? Sorry. I know. But
you know, that's
we'll talk about the national championship,
too. You think he's going to the college to congratulate him?
Nope.
No. He's going to get to Atlanta. I want to congratulate Wisconsin for the big game. Whatever. We got a lot to talk about. It's coming up next, the South Florida Morning Show. This is Jen. I'm Bill. Keep it here. Thank you so much, Katya. Appreciate it. The South Florida Morning Show. This is Jen. This is Diener. I'm Bill. More news from Karen coming up along the way, too. And I tell you, congratulations to the Georgia Bulldogs. That was a huge win.
And one more point for the Georgia defense. Georgia on the mountaintop. Demons be gone, and the drought is over. National champions.
41-year drought. Good Lord.
That's incredible.
Good for them.
Good for them. And they won decisively. It was 33-18. It wasn't like it was a close game. The fourth quarter, it was like somebody lit a fire underneath all their feet. And it was like, holy cow.
They pulled away because, what was it, at halftime? It was like 13-12 or something ridiculous.
It was close. And I was like, oh, my God. And then that was it. They came out of that tunnel at the second half. And good night, Eileen. It was like, holy cow.
It's not the only big thing going on in Georgia these days. Oh, no.
The only way to do that are for the Senate to pass the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act.
The full press march to Georgia happens today. It starts today. We've got President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, both going to be in Atlanta.
How do you like
that? A twofer.
You think they're on the same plane or in the same city at the same time? Or is one going to one end of the state and one to the other? Because we all know they despise each other. So
I think they will be separated as much as possible. I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. The president and the vice president, actually, they're going to place a wreath, too, at the crypt of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Oh, well, that makes
which
sense.
Which is nice. And then and Mrs. Coretta Scott King, I apologize for both of them. But he's there basically to say, we need to make voting a federal law, and we need to get this filibuster legislation passed so we can stop the Senate from stopping us from making it a national law.
The same filibuster, by the way, that all the Democrats were in favor of before when they could use it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right. When they weren't in power. So that was their blocking device.
It's
what they're putting. It's desperate. It's huge. This now, of all the overreaching wish list grabs that they wanted to do, like Build Back Better and all the other crap, this one is the most serious because they want to federalize elections. You'd never be able to get out of it. It would be law. States would have basically no function whatsoever. There would be no voter ID ever. It would be vote by mail forever. Basically, it would be fraudulent elections
forever.
For all time, which means Democrats in power for all time.
For all time.
That's why they're pushing it so hard. But there's something here I'm very confused about. I saw this yesterday, and I thought it was wrong, and I don't get it. Some voting rights groups, Democrats, they're skipping the president's speech today because they say it's not, I guess that what they're saying is it's not enough. I thought they would have been full in favor of him doing this because they want the federalized law.
Wow.
They're saying that they're all behind a boost in voter turnout, you know, get out the vote people, all this other stuff, and they want the focus to be on passing legislation which I don't understand, because really what this is about is going state by state to get support for legislation. So
right.
I don't know.
Well, maybe they're more concerned to getting rid of the filibuster part first.
Yeah.
Because once they get rid of that, the Senate can't stop them. However, the two bills that are there now, they need 60 votes, and they're unlikely to get either one of them. So they even say people in the House are against all this federal, you know, voting laws. So we shall see. I don't think it's going to happen. He can. I think what happens is when the president, and I'm not saying this because I don't have any faith in the man. I'm just simply going by fact. When the president gets behind something, it never goes anywhere.
Yeah, he's not. Doesn't have a lot of pull.
He does not.
He really
have
doesn't.
The power. Yeah. It's not like, you know, Obama used to show up for something. It got passed. There was no doubt about it. The man had a great deal of wielding power. There's no doubt about it. This man, I think they laugh when he shows up.
And he screws up everything.
Yeah. And it's a sad state of affairs as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not trashing the man. I'm just going by what has happened in the past. Whenever he's put his name on something and has gotten behind it to pass it, it fails.
This is the big one, though. This is the one that they want, because this means power forever. This is huge. Because this means illegals, non-citizens vote forever. Look at New York. As it stands now, it'll be challenged till kingdom come. But as it stands now, 800,000 non-citizens in New York City are set to be able to vote.
Yeah.
800,000.
In the city. Yeah.
In the city.
Yeah, not in the state, but in the city.
That's right.
You're right, because they let in non-
They let it pass.
They said if you lived in the city for more than 30 days,
right,
you qualified.
I mean, that's insane.
So, I mean, you could go there for a vacation and qualify.
Of course.
If you stay 30 days. You know?
Anybody could.
Go ahead. Go vote in New York.
See, that would go to the Supreme Court if they have to. But still, that's the kind of stuff they're talking about. There's a reason why they don't want voter ID. It's to make sure that they are in power forever. That's
right.
What they want. There's no reason whatsoever to ever be against voter ID. Ever.
I don't get why anybody is. You need an ID for everything else in your life. You know what? It should be. It used to be a privilege to be able to vote. You know, it was kind of like an honor. I can remember the big time, the first time you get to vote, it was like a big deal. Nah, it's like nothing. Now it's like putting a stamp on a letter. It's like, come on, people.
It does. It does minimize your relevance as a citizen.
Yeah.
And your ability to, you know, live here, determine the course of your own country or state or county, whatever it is. Of course it is. And I love how they praise that. Listen how they spin this, too. And it's going to be bad today. You're going to hear some absolute nonsense.
The president will forcefully advocate for protecting the most bedrock American rights, the right to vote and have your voice counted in a free, fair, and secure election.
Just look at all the headlines we've read to you. We outlined a couple of them yesterday. The way that they spin this, the way they use the media to spin this.
Yeah.
So strengthening elections is all of a sudden a threat to your right to vote. No, it's the exact opposite. As long as you're legal and you're not cheating an election.
Oh, well. Unless, of course, you want everybody to vote, including the 1.5 million people you're letting over the border each and every month.
That's the goal.
Besides the point.
That's the plan.
Okay, some good news.
Please.
A fast and easy route to Orlando is a huge step closer to reality. On Monday, according to Brightline, they're going to start running empty trains from West Palm to Cocoa Beach to test out the new track. 70% of the track to Orlando is done.
70%?
Yep. They're hoping that by the end of this year, early next year, we'll be able to take a Brightline train from here to the Orlando airport.
It's on a fast track. I love it.
If you're anywhere near these tracks from West Palm to Cocoa Beach, these trains running empty on Monday, 60 miles an hour. They ain't slowing down either.
Ding, 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 ding.
What I want to see is they're going through downtown Stewart. And if you've ever been to downtown Stewart, there is a minimum amount of space between the road and the actual track and where people cross. I see this being a nightmare in downtown Stewart.
Do they have cow catchers in front of these trains? You know, the big grates?
They probably do.
Get out of the way!
I think they got car catchers, not cow catchers.
I don't know what it is about downtown Stewart, and I'm not trying to get on Stewart by any means.
I love Stewart. Don't pick on
it. No, I'm not. I love Stewart, too. It's a great town. But when you get to downtown Stewart, it's like you've been transported into the Twilight Zone. I don't know how to drive there.
No one does.
All the roads go crazy.
No one does.
It's true.
It's terrible design.
It is. They get flipped around. All of a sudden, the train tracks are in the middle of the road. I'm like, what's happening?
Right.
Especially Confusion Corner there.
Remember that big fight, though? That was, if you talk about some lobbying money behind Brightline making this happen. Because remember, they were concerned about safety going through Stewart. They were like, nope, the trains are coming.
I get it. I
mean, get out of the way.
And if you've never been to downtown Stewart, it really is. It's a great, as you would say, quaint little town.
It is.
I love it. And but that train track goes right through the middle of it, and it's going to be scary.
Be careful.
People leaving the bars. Oh, right. My, oh, I'm just saying, I don't know.
Get out of the way. You know what it was? Honest to God, I mean, I'm not, it's a terrible thing, but they need more awareness about some of these trains coming. Because most people are used to, like, tri-rail down here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people slower. Trying to walk yeah. across, and it's that's like a manatee of trains.
Yeah, a snail.
This thing is,
yeah, a snail could outrun tri-rail.
Seriously, I think they weren't used to a really fast train, and that's, you
yeah.
step up your game there. Yeah. Pedestrians.
Yeah, either run really fast or just sit and wait.
Sorry.
And it comes flying by.
It does.
So, anyway, I thought it'd be good news. Because
that's good news. It is.
I think we'll all be going to Orlando soon by Brightline.
I hope so, anyway. Who knows?
Thanks.
All right, more headlines coming up next. We'll talk about the big celebration in Georgia. Not the voting thing, the college football thing. But you know what's sad? College football's over.
Oh, yeah.
It hit me this morning. I'm like, oh.
That's all right. Just wait a couple of weeks. It'll be back.
There you go.
It doesn't take long.
That and some headlines next. The South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here. All right, Karen, news is coming up about 12 minutes away, top of the hour. What you got?
So did you know it's Election Day in Palm Beach County?
Is it?
Special
really?
Election, yes, for Florida's 20th congressional district is today. If you go to our website, afdwftl.com, I've got everything, all the links to find out where you're supposed to vote, precinct locations, drop-off box hours. So you've got the two candidates, the Democrat nominee. This is for Elsie Hastings' seat that was vacated. He died last year from pancreatic cancer. Sheila McCormick faces Republican nominee Jason Marin. Remember, this is a Democrat seat.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So anyway, if you want to go vote, go to our website, afdwftl.com. Everything you need to know is there about today's election that we're coming up.
Vote in person. I don't care how big the election is or how small. Vote in person. I'm going to say that every single day throughout the midterms and beyond.
Can we put it on a loop for you so
yes.
you don't lose your voice saying it over and over again?
Vote in person.
You know, it's weird because in my county, granted, I think it has half the population, if not more so than Palm Beach County. Everybody goes in person.
I like it.
It's nice, you know. You see them at the church up the street. You're having coffee while you're waiting in line. You're talking to your neighbor. It's nice. It's a nice little camaraderie thing.
And it's different in Florida now because, as we've learned, they've fixed our mail-in voting system. You know, it works. But I think just a statement for nationally to have more people voting in person.
Yeah.
I think it's a statement for election integrity. I think it is.
It would be nice. You know what? We shall see.
Yeah.
We shall see. If it was up to this administration, it'd be mail-in all the time, every election.
Speaking of that, so we just learned something. I guess, you know, there's a lot of Democrats who are not happy with the voting rights stuff that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are bringing to Georgia today, including Stacey Abrams. She's not going.
Stacey Abrams is not going to be with the Bidens?
Wow. That's quite an insult.
Oh, that's a big... Well, she wants to be president, so that could be why. Maybe she's just jealous.
I'm still trying to figure out what they're upset about. I guess they're saying it's not extreme enough, even though what they're pushing for is federalized and no voter ID stuff.
Wow.
Forever. That's not extreme enough. What do they want?
Well, they said it was a scheduling issue for Stacey Abrams. I'm like, okay, you're supposed to meet with the president and first lady. You don't change whatever scheduling issue you have?
Well, she has to have a pretend news conference from the pretend governor's office. She's
wow.
still never conceded, by the way.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
She thinks she's governor.
I get a feeling she thinks what the president is doing isn't enough, and that's basically why she's not going to meet with
him. It's got to be it.
It's a slap in the face because she runs Georgia.
I guess you've got a lot of power. I mean, that's undeniable.
Yeah, she's got a lot of power.
How about this? The wait's over for free COVID tests starting this weekend. If you buy a test, you can get reimbursed by your insurance. Let's see how that works out.
Yeah, and you can get what up to, is it 8 tests a month?
Yeah, they're saying 8.
Or if you're a doctor or someone in the medical profession who can order the stuff, you can get as many as you want, I guess.
That's what they say.
So they say. Okay, there's supposed to be how many of these tests available? And how long before your insurance company actually reimburses you for the $25 or whatever it is?
Yeah, they're not cheap.
No, they're not cheap. So it should be interesting. And they say, oh, maybe by the middle of the end of this month, that website at the White House will be up where you can just go order one and have it delivered to your house.
Sure. Sure. Well.
We've been waiting how long for this darn thing?
What they're saying now is simply go online and file a claim.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting for the first insurance company that's going to cause a pushback on this. There'll be something happening.
You know, there's going to be they fight everything. You know how insurance companies are. That's their mode. Fight first, then pay.
I'll say it again. Sorry, and this is where Trump dropped the ball too. This should have been, we should have been doing this news story a year and a half ago. They should have had at-home covered testing ready to go and ruled out.
True.
You would have ruled out so many people freaking out about this because they could have less accurate, but tested themselves every day and they said, "Oh, okay, I'm fine."
Weren't they doing that with football players? Isn't that what they were doing? Was those tests they were getting tested every day? Remember when they first started coming back?
They were better tests, though. They were more expensive, but still, you're right. Every day,
you know, every day they were tested, right. and now they've changed the protocol. If you test positive now and it's Omicron, you just stay home for 5 days.
Yeah, because the current variant we have is very mild.
Well, that's usually what happens with viruses. They lose their steam after a while. Man. So we shall see.
Well, not only did the Georgia Bulldogs win the championship, they gave us a new expression. I expect this to be used by every coach from here on out.
And you know who really believed? All these men right here. We told them before the game, we're burning the boats. The only way home is through them. And that's the only way you're getting home, and they did it.
You got that? That's our new morning show phrase. We're burning the boats, people. There's no turning back.
I was thinking, where in Georgia does he live that he has water to take a boat on?
We're burning the boats.
Granted, there's a couple of lakes, but come on. I was like, okay.
Nope.
It was pretty funny.
You cross
though.
That river, you ain't getting back. So win.
And they won decisively. Did we find out what the over-under was? Because Bill took that as the wild card pick, and the final score was 33-18. So what, 51?
It was at 51. I wonder if that was the line.
What was the line?
It was floating between like 51.5, 52 for the most part.
That's unbelievable, though.
Yeah.
That they got. Vegas is amazing.
I mean, they hit it on the head. Did you guys see this story, by the way, about the quarterback from Georgia?
What's his name? Is Stetson?
The walk-on kid?
Is it Bennett?
Stetson Bennett.
Stetson Bennett. What he sounds name. Like an old Southern senator.
He does. You're right.
He does. Yeah.
I want to talk to the governor.
This is a kid, who was not on anybody's radar at the start of the season. He was essentially the third string quarterback coming into this year.
That's great.
As a 3-year-old. I mean, this is like movie stuff. You can't make this up. As a 3-year-old, he told his dad, I'm going to be the quarterback for Georgia.
Come on.
As a 3-year-old kid. And so, I mean, that was his goal growing up. He worked toward it all of his life, and he got there as a walk-on because he didn't have any scholarship offers coming out of high school.
That's awesome.
So he gets there, and Justin Fields, who was the quarterback originally at Georgia, then went to Ohio State, now he plays for the Bears. But he was at Georgia when Stetson Bennett came, and he's like, well, I'm screwed. So he ends up going to junior college, lights it up there for a couple of years, comes back to Georgia. But it figures, I'm not going to have any playing time. I'll just, you know, I'll stick it out and see if I can play before my career is done. And here he is, ends up getting his chance and wins a national championship.
It's a great story.
I love it.
I tell you something, though. I think it was the fourth quarter, but that long bomb he threw for that touchdown after they had
what a throw.
Gone down by like four.
Wow.
What a throw is right.
That was when the coach went, when I saw that ball in the air, and he goes, and I looked at who was the receiver. He was like, I know it's going to get caught. It's going to be a touchdown.
That thing looked like it was 60 yards in the air.
I mean, perfect strike to the corner of the end zone.
That's what happens when you burn the boats.
That's it.
You commit to winning.
I like the fact that he said we're going to tear up the turf in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was another one. That was, ooh,
like,
boy.
Whoa, boy.
Oh, boy.
Is Indianapolis standing this morning? Do we know?
I'm sure.
It was too cold. They didn't go outside.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's true.
All right, we got more on the, speaking of Georgia, the big presidential visit to Georgia today. What are they talking about?
Please, please, please. And another reason to love or hate Elon Musk. Did you see his new car and what it comes with?
Yeah, he's stepping it up a little.
Boy,
I don't know if it's a good idea, though.
I don't think it's a great idea at all.
All right, it's coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show. This is Jen. I'm Bill. Keep it here.